land zone for exclusive farm use under ORS 215, 203, and 263. The Oregon Farm Bureau Board of Directors.
Representative Priestley.
I'd just like to comment. From time to time, this idea of a committee of farmers is raised, and it somehow it seems to be not too popular to receive. It's just a tremendous idea to have public popular participation like that. And I just want to underscore the idea that I agree with the Farm Bureau.
Madam Chair.
Representative Parkinson.
Would only landowners be allowed to participate, Representative Priestley?
Suggestion here.
No, you could be a leasing farmer.
I'll continue my testimony in elaboration of the final proposed amendment. The Oregon Farm Bureau Board of Directors, our Legislative Action Committee, and our Tax Committee all agreed to request that amendment. In the view of the Oregon Farm Bureau Federation, probably no single improvement to our land use laws would eliminate more difficulties than the establishment of a farmer panel to serve as hearings officer for permits in contested cases involving lands inside exclusive farm use zones. The production farmers who live in exclusive farm use zones have a single common interest, a profitable environment for farming without interference from non-farm uses. This is not to say that differences of interest do not exist among farmers in EFU zones, but only that these differences are usually much less than the differences in EFU zones between farmers and non-farmers. A farmer panel hearings officer would aid greatly the protection of our farm resource for farm uses. In addition, farmers serving on such a panel would receive one of the most valuable educational experiences of their lives, an education in our land use laws. This, we feel, was the spirit of Goal 1, citizen involvement. The term local control does not mean control by local government. It means control by farmers themselves of their own futures within the law. In conclusion, the Oregon Farm Bureau Federation supports SB 237 with these amendments. We support the bill with policies 067, policy 069, by action of the Farm Bureau Natural Environmental Resource Committee, by action of the Oregon Farm Bureau Forestry Committee, Oregon Farm Bureau Tax Committee, the Oregon Farm Bureau Legislative Action Committee, and by a vote of the Oregon Farm Bureau Board of Directors on May 18th this year. Thank you, and I'm open for any questions.
Thank you. Representative Trahan.
Scott, going back to the chart that you have on page 2 of your testimony, where did you obtain that chart?
Madam Chair, Representative Trahan, this came from the Census of Agriculture for 1978. I compiled the chart myself from the Census of Agriculture, but the data is readily available in the Census of Agriculture for 1978. The Department of Commerce, it was an oversight that they left out the footnote that cited the source, and I apologize for that.
Madam Chair.
Representative Trahan has a question.
Yeah, one more on that issue, Scott, and that simply is to ask what they were classifying as a farm in that data, because I think there could be several different definitions.
Madam Chair, Representative Trahan, this is the 2,500 income or greater class.
Thank you.
2,500?
Yes, Madam Chair. In other words, the per tax return, according to the Department of Commerce, the farm would have had to produce 2,500 in sales, gross sales, per year.
Representative Hill.
So that would include part-time farmers.
Madam Chair, Representative Hill, yes. As a matter of fact, I should elaborate on that a little bit. When you look at the statistics, most farmers, because of the chronically low price of the low price that they receive for farm goods, which benefits the consumer, I suppose, but it doesn't benefit the farmer very much. Most farmers have to now take part-time work, and I think that you find that over half of the farmers of the state work sometime off the farm in order to supplement their income and keep in farm in the state.
Any further questions? Representative Anderson.
A little inconsistency here, Scott. Your board of directors approving everything on May 18th, and the bill we had wasn't completed until the 6th of June.
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, we had, of course, all we can do is go over the draft of the bill in its form at the time. And, of course, this is also a problem with the committees, the Tax Committee, Legislative Action Committee, Forestry Committee, NER Committee. We have just basically been following this issue, supporting the bill, proposing amendments for the following reason. if the Oregon Farm Bureau Federation, which represents the production farmers in this state, is not involved in the major land use bill affecting EFU zones, then somebody else is going to be making the decisions about EFU zones for us. But they we had a draft that was fairly close to the original, or to the form of the bill which did emerge from the Senate with the engrossed version.
Madam Chair. Representative Bradbury?
Scott, we've just had testimony from the counties. They're interested in getting more flexibility in the way they deal with farm use land. What would be the response from those who represent the farmers on that kind of an issue?
Madam Chair, Representative Bradbury, could you clarify the question a little bit for me on this so I can answer it?
Do you feel, as representing commercial agriculture, that there is a need for increased county flexibility in how they handle exclusive farm use zones?
Madam Chair, Representative Bradbury, yes, I think there is a need for increased flexibility on the part of the county commissions, but I think that that's a very, very complicated issue. The first part of the complicated nature of it is that from county to county and from county commission to county commission, there's a great difference. Some counties are able to deal with the current statutes very, very easily. Some counties find it almost impossible to deal with the current statutes. The second part of the complexity is the fact that Oregon geographically is it's probably the most diverse geographic state in the Union. So we have such different land to be considered by these various county commissions that one statutory standard to apply to the entire state is very difficult to execute in a consistent fashion. So it's very complicated. You find that some counties have planners that were not trained in planning, really. Planning is a new academic discipline, and I don't think, frankly, we have an adequate supply of well-trained planners yet. We're going to get that. Planning is progressing. It's going to continue.
Representative Hill.
But they need flexibility, but I don't think they need the kind of flexibility they were asking for here today.
Scott, do you feel that built into what you are proposing here is the flexibility that's needed for the different parts of the state of Oregon? You just referred to the Oregon's geographic diversity, and I will agree with you, and I think that's where part of our land use situation got into problems.
Madam Chair, Representative Van Leeuwen, yes, we do feel that that 237 amended as we proposed will provide the flexibility, and I'd like to elaborate on that a little bit.
Mr. Chairman?
Excuse me, Scott.
Representative Hill.
If you'll be here over the next few meetings, won't you? Okay. Could I request the committee? I'm sorry to interrupt, but just...
No, that's fine.
I have a county commissioner and our planning director from Lane County who have to leave in just a few minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And if we can give them the opportunity to make a comment, I would certainly appreciate it.
That's fine. Scott will be here.
We'll just postpone you for a few minutes, okay?
And sorry, Scott.
Back up so you can... Let's have Scott Llewellyn and Roy Burns.
Mr. Chairperson, members of the committee, Representative Hill, thank you very much for making the suggestion. And Scott will be very brief if he's still in the room. I don't know if he took off or not. We are listed as opposing the bill, although there are major and serious portions of it. I'm sorry. My name is Scott Llewellyn. I'm a county commissioner from Lane County, and I'm representing the county in an official capacity as the chairman of our Legislative Affairs Committee, and I have with me today Roy Burns, our planning director. I would like to make a few general comments about the bill and then ask him to give you the perspective from the planning directors. Let me say that we're sort of on the firing line with these things and working very hard at this point to try to get in compliance with the law. Our county has had a history of struggling with this issue for many, many years, and I believe at this point we have now brought ourselves to a point where we are working very hard to get in compliance with the law and sincerely wish to do that. We have four members of the board who campaigned on a pro-land use planning platform and a fifth who has pledged himself to end that struggle and get in compliance with state law. And we're concerned about the loss or the potential loss of farmland, not only in Lane County, but throughout the state of Oregon, because we believe in statewide land use planning. But we're concerned that the vehicle that's being proposed to do that is going to be extremely burdensome financially and administratively, which to us is the same thing these days. We want to point that out. We also want to point out that while we believe and support the idea of trying to tighten up the preservation of Goal 3 land in the state of Oregon, we believe it's being done by a backdoor kind of a method. And if I may be so bold as to suggest, we think that the marginal land portion of the bill is, in a sense, a placebo, at least on the west side of the Cascades. We are concerned not only about the the administrative burden that this bill will create, and I'd like Roy to make a comment or two about that in a moment, but we're also concerned about the expectation that this bill, especially the marginal land provision, will create in the minds of rural landowners in Lane County. You probably know that there's a lot of opposition to this sort of planning and zoning in that part of the state. We're struggling mightily to get our plan in compliance and to submittal. We don't need more political heat. We don't need more administrative burden. At this point, we will consider ourselves lucky and extremely successful if we manage to meet the compliance date of the beginning of next calendar year, and we really want to do that. But we're down to very, very few people. We have a serious financial crunch in our county, and we're just terrified at the thought of more analysis and more time, especially when we see 2295 coming down the pike, which creates a 120-day time period. We're concerned that we simply won't have the time to meet all these deadlines and that lots of things will occur by default that we really believe should not occur. We support the position of the AOC, which doesn't, from my perspective, doesn't happen all that often, but in this instance, I believe they're right. The LCDC should be the proper arena to try to clean these things up. So let me give it to you in very broad terms. What I believe ought to happen is that you ought to send a bill or pass a bill that directs LCDC to tighten up Goal 3, which is what the Farm Bureau wants, and I think what others who are concerned about preservation of farmland want, and send it over to LCDC and tell them to do it. Now, at the same time, they ought to deal with Goal 4, too, which is unrealistically tight, and bring those two goals somehow or another into some closer correspondence. We understand that at this time there's some concern that the Commission may not wish to take that kind of a responsibility on, and in fact they may not have the political mettle it may take to do that. But that would be the proper way to do it. And we think what's going on now is a kind of a backdoor way, and we believe that the marginal land portion of it is a kind of a political device to reduce the political heat for something that needs to be done. We want to go forward with land use planning. We want to protect our agriculture and timber resource land. But we're going to be very, very hard-pressed to do that, given a lot of the provisions of this bill. I'd like to ask Roy if we could take a minute or two more to give you some general notion of that, and then we'll get out of your way, and we'll also offer to work with you and give the perspective of those of us on the firing line to your staff or any other members of the committee who wish to call on us for that. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Scott, I'm getting some vibes that maybe the Lane County Commissioner, at least yourself, is not in favor of a marginal lands category. Am I getting that wrong?
No, you're getting that right. We think that 2295 is probably going to be an adequate vehicle to deal with that. We're not absolutely certain about that because this whole issue of marginal land and loosening up the Goal 2 exceptions process is one that is not. There are probably more things to be thought about and new things to be analyzed in those terms. But our initial impression is that if the Goal 2 exceptions process is loosened to some extent, this whole issue of marginal lands can be dealt with adequately through that device, and that this other bill is going to create a lot of administrative burden, and that's the part that I think Roy could more adequately speak to, the part that he's really panicked about because he's losing more people in come July, we speculate.
Madam Chair, just one more sort of follow-up, because they probably won't be here for work session again, maybe, but I've got to tell you that down in Representative Traherne's area around Grants Pass, and I happen to come from Roseburg, that we have what we feel is a lot of marginal land. Rock outcropping, south slope hillsides with 6 inches of shale soil that green up for 2-3 weeks out of the year. And both of our counties voted better than 2-1 to throw the dishwater out with a baby. And that's why some of us have to take a look at marginal lands. And that's why we're looking at some of the bills.
I understand that, and I can certainly sympathize with that. Okay.
Madam Chair.
Representative Van Leeuwen.
After watching Wayne County over a number of years and driving down River Road into Eugene and so forth, I find your statements most interesting after I've watched all of those Class 1 soils sprout apartment houses right out in the middle of some of the best land in the state of Oregon. I know you were not a commissioner when all of this began to take place, and I'm not sure what's in the city and what's in the country, but I find it most interesting Lane County's opinions sometimes, as they were expecting some of the legislators you had in the past and in the present, and what they expected of us as they were doing at home what they were asking the rest of the state not to do. I guess that's a lecture instead of a question.
Yeah.
They want me to preserve mine, but they use some equally good soil for.
I would like to comment, if I could, Representative Van Leeuwen.
There's a little bit of bitterness in that.
I can hear that, and I can also appreciate it. And I'm not going to try to get argumentative or even defensive to too much of an extent. The great difficulty in the issues you're identifying there is this classic conflict between the urban and the rural uses.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very, very difficult issue to work out. And you're right. Lots and lots of very, very fine farmland lies underneath parking lots and apartment houses and streets within the cities of Eugene and Springfield. That's a fact. We've got an urban growth boundary established. That's the law. That's the way we're going to deal with that. We're primarily today, I think, talking about very rural kinds of areas, the kind I think that Representative Anderson is talking about, because those lands that are sitting underneath those parking lots are not marginal, and I know that, and I agree with that.
Scott, I have a question. How do we deal with, I mean, I think in this bill, at least the way it's been, I read it and interpret it, is that we are not going to expect to find a lot of marginal lands, particularly in the Willamette Valley, where you have some of the best soil, and that this is mainly for eastern, southern, and some of the coastal areas. How do you deal with perceptions that some of the rural landowners may have in Lane County, Marion County, Clackamas County, that their lands are now going to be marginal, when in fact they're not?
We don't know yet. One of our possible answers to the question is get ourselves out of the quasi-judicial process, create a hearings official, and route it to you folks or to the courts. See, our concern is that we're going to create a bunch of expectations that we won't be able to meet.
How do we stop creating those expectations? Because I don't think anyone in this marginal land bill expected that there was going to be a lot of marginal lands in the Willamette Valley. All you have to do is drive through here and know that there aren't a great deal of marginal lands.
Time. I don't know for sure. It's the same issue as Goal 4. We're going to lay our implementing zones down sometime next year, I hope, if we get if go forward with submission and compliance of the plan. And we're going to just hope that over time people begin to learn that this is the law, and that it's, we believe, in the long-term best interest of all the residents of the state of Oregon. But I tell you, it's going to be hard, and I don't like sitting in my office with angry rural landowners telling me that I'm running either a communist or a fascist organization down on them, and repeating over and over that it's the state law sometimes is difficult enough. But when they wave a new bill at me that says, hey, it says right here that I can do all kinds of stuff under the marginal land. Boy, I have marginal land if I ever saw it. I'm not making a lot of money. I don't want to deal with that. It's bad enough as it is now. It's difficult enough now to convince people that land use planning is a good idea over the long term. Creating more expectation is going to be burdensome for us, and it's going to be administratively burdensome as well, because we cannot simply rely. If somebody comes in under the provisions of this act or this bill and says, oh, look, I've got all my material together, here's my income criteria, here's how it isn't going to affect the adjacent land and all the rest of the stuff that's in the bill, the first thing I'm going to say is, Roy, check it out. I can't simply rely on that. I'm going to ask my staff to go through and verify that. We don't have time. We don't have the people.
Madam Chair.
Representative Trahan.
Maybe the solution would be to only allow marginal land south of Lane County and east of the Cascades?
You know, that may not be so funny as it sounds, or maybe I took it as a facetious remark, and maybe it wasn't, but as Scott Ashkin legitimately pointed out, it's a very diverse state, and to have one standard for the whole state probably doesn't make sense. There ought to be perhaps at least a standard east and west of the crest of the Cascades, but that's maybe not such a bad idea. You know, these standards ought to vary from area to area, but we're not going to have a lot of that land in Lane County.
No, you're not.
But we are going to have a lot of that expectation.
Madam Chair.
Representative Parkinson.
Commissioner Llewellyn, if you had the authority, would your county have the ability to define their marginal lands? The stuff up in the foothills, I think you must have some that is exactly...
Well, I'm going to ask Roy to comment, too, but my understanding is that we have intended to deal with that up to now through the Gold 2 exceptions process, and we certainly have the authority. We're real strapped for time. If 2295, I don't know when 2295 would take effect if it were passed, but that's going to be a problem for us, too. We're simply real short on staff, but that's my response. We deal with it through the exceptions process, and I'd like to ask Roy if you'd listen to that to respond as well.
Roy Burns, Planning Director, Lane County. At the present time, our direction from the Board of County Commissioners is to achieve acknowledgement by January. We are approaching that very objective. We anticipate going out to the public with some of the issues that are being discussed here in terms of our exclusive farm use areas that have been identified, and also those areas that are important forest lands within the county subject to Goal 4. We have not found any significant areas of marginal land. We feel that the term marginal is a very awkward definition. We have found some resource lands that have been impacted by development patterns that quite likely should be eligible for consideration under exceptions. There have been other areas of the state with acknowledged plans that have received that same type of consideration. But in essence, the term marginal lands is very difficult to administer when you have to consider other goals within the state of Oregon that have to be applied. And when you also consider the potential of the impact of using that land for residential purposes and its impact on adjacent resource lands. There is not a lot of marginal lands, however it's defined, within most counties in the Willamette Valley. We had, I was not planning director at the time that the last legislature attempted to deal with a lot of records legislation, but that I was involved to some extent in the administration of other programs associated with it. In those instances, there was a great deal of expectation by the public on what the legislature had accomplished. If you review the county's application of that, you'll find that it has not had significant impact other than the county staff attempting to explain to people why they did not qualify under the statutory authority that had been granted, which never shows up on the statistics you receive. The negative statements that are made regarding those types of things. One of the things that concerns us about the legislation is the narrow definition. We have a concern about trying to obtain information on the revenue and income. We very recently considered an issue on Goal 4 lands on road acceptance that the board took action to overturn a previous decision. And in that instance, we attempted to obtain information on timber cutting in a period of time to show that it was, in fact, forest land subject to Goal 4. That information was not available from the Department of Revenue. They would not provide it. That is the type of thing that we experience. We feel obligated to verify the information supplied to us by applicants who claim or purport to be eligible for a provision of the law. We also have a concern about the extent of notification, 1,500 feet. It's inconsistent with the rest of statutory provisions. We'd like to have consistency there, either abutting property owners or some other provision. We also have concerns about the 30-day appeal period. There has been a decision to speed up the land use process in the state of Oregon. We are making attempts to do that. As Commissioner Llewellyn indicated, one of the ways to do that is through more efficient processes of hearings official, and also to bypass Board of Appeals, Board of Commissioners' appeal and go straight to the courts. This 30-day appeal period on partitions may impact that 120-day timeline in 2295. We'd be happy to work with the rest of the individuals who are concerned about this legislation and are genuinely concerned about the financial implications and administrative burdens on an already difficult administrative system in the state of Oregon.
Madam Chair.
Representative Parkinson.
Just again, did we say right at the first of your testimony that you are supporting the county planning director's recommendation?
I haven't reviewed it thoroughly, but we do support amendments to, we do support specifically directing ourselves to, if we are not preserving exclusive farm use categories as a result of 215-213, I have seen no evidence to that effect. It's been stated a number of times and may be true, but if it is, then I would submit that we need to address Goal 3 to tighten it up and perhaps to look at the safety release that was put in 213. And I generally support the AOC position, yes.
What's 213?
That's the 215-213 is the shopping list for ag lands, Oregon Revised Statute.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
We're so used to dealing with bill numbers down here.
I'm sorry. I'm used to dealing with after you've got through with the bills.
Madam Chairperson, if I could make one last comment, then we'll get out of the way and let Scott Ashkin come back. Just if you pass the bill, I feel like the kid who's on vacation is having a great time. I'm going to send a postcard up, and it's going to say, having a good time, send money. Thank you.
I have been asked to ask that you look at the process flow that was prepared in the part of your packet that was submitted by Mr. Gloge. He forgot to mention that. We would like to work on amendments to the bill if you wish to go forward.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all very much.
We have two other people that are from here from Columbia County that have to leave by 3. We will try to get them on next. Richard Reck?
Like a car is wrecked.
Like a car is wrecked. And Chris Nelson. Welcome.
We recognize you're very busy, and we're just about to leave.
We got you on before 3.
You did. And to some extent, we feel like we do not represent one of the organized groups that has been working with the criteria for this bill, and there are a lot of considerations that we have not thought through and have not dealt with. We will try and become familiar, and we will try and communicate with staff people, and I think we just restrict ourselves to making a couple of points today. One.
Excuse me, Richard, I need your name for the record.
Richard Recht, R-E-C-H-T. That the workability and the support of the LCDC goals was, in our judgment, not intended to bring state land use planning into highly specific determinations on local level. And one of the problems throughout the process in the county that we're involved in has been one that has not been in compliance and has had many battles. This has been central. I think in to the extent that this bill, that part of the power behind this bill, the push for this bill, comes from the frustration of feeling that things are decided in Salem that can really are so specific to locality that they can only be dealt with there. And a real frustration when we try and work things through on compromises and get everybody agreeing on a local basis, but they say this just isn't going to, we really can't say anything because this has to be decided by LCDC. Second, a lot of record for non-critical areas, and we'd emphasize the non-critical areas is of great importance. The expectations that the planners are afraid of arises out of a lot of frustration, in essence, promises broken in people's minds. And if something can be done to identify the places and the what are marginal lands and remove them from the battlegrounds, I think we can remove a lot of the frustration and have greater credibility for state land use planning. The lands that we are specifically interested in are not EFU zoned. They are too marginal to make EFU. If they're going to make a resource category, it would have to be something related to timber, but they would probably be thrown into a miscellaneous category because of not being high enough quality to make either one. And yet the Act is plainly written to the EFU, but would leave us presumably in a worse place than somebody who was in an EFU zone but had marginal lands there. And if there would be some way to include lands that were not in EFU zone but otherwise met the criteria, then it would seem to me that it, if you're willing to do this to the threat of a prime agricultural area, you should be, it should be less controversial done outside. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. That's all? You have any questions?
Were they Columbia County?
Columbia County.
We are not representing Columbia County. We're simply landowners.
You're just
there.
From Columbia County.
Just people herding in Columbia County. Thank you.
So you would put different, other than the, you would make it, you would define marginal lands, and it could be any kind of land other, as well as EFU, what's in currently in the EFU zone.
Yes, I would think so. I share the concern.